Good evening, class. We're going to begin lesson five of our class. This is going to be the Old Testament instances of rebellion. And we're going to be coming from these two sets of scripture. Well, really three. Genesis 2, 16 to 17, and Genesis 3, 1 through 5. We're going to find out that man's fall was due to rebellion. Rebellion always the cause when it comes to people falling and failing and not getting in the right place where God wants them to be. It ends in rebellion. Don't begin with rebellion, but it ends with rebellion because the thoughts of their hearts are not right. And that principle of Satan is always active and always flowing through the earth realm. So with no further ado, let's go to Genesis 2 and 16. And we're going to read verse 17 also. Let me pull it up in my scriptures here. Genesis 2:16, beginning at verse 16. It reads, no, doesn't read that. Genesis 2:16, not 16 and 2. You with me, class? It says, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. He was talking to Adam. Let me get the right translation. I want to go to the King James Version. That was another translation. King James Version says this. And the Lord God commanded the man. See, I wanted to go here because God used a certain word here, command. God does command us to do certain things. And when he used that word command, he does not want us to deviate from it in any way. So sometimes in spiritual things, God will command you, class. And not only God, but sometimes people don't like this, but your spiritual leader have the authority to command you when you submit it like you should. So, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And turn again with me to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, I'll let you know the verse in a minute. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Let's look at that. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. You ready, class? Let's read this together. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every fruit of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God do know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Sixth verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, who with her, and he did eat. Now, let's go back to our text, or our lesson. Under the title, you're going to see the fall of man, the fall of Adam and Eve. And we're going to begin with this statement. Mark this statement down. The fall of man is due to disobedience. And that's, let's read one more scripture here. I want to go to, turn your Bible with me to, let me think of where it is now. Romans verse 5, Romans 5, chapter 5, verse, I want to say verse 16. Let me look at it, see if that's it. Yeah, verse 16. But let's pull up the, let's look at verse 15. Verses 15 and 16. Romans 5, verse 15 and 16. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. One more verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, everybody say much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, what that scripture tells us? It tells us that one man, through the sin of one man, sin had access into the earth realm. And once sin had access into the earth realm, sin fell upon all men because of the principle or the command that was not kept by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So back to our lesson, the purpose of the charge of God's forbidding Adam and Eve to eat a certain fruit was that God was putting Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. I capitalized obedience in that last statement. God was putting Adam under authority that he might learn what class? That he might learn obedience. You see, you can't learn obedience unless you put under authority. And that's the acid test. I use this phrase here. Rules, see, that it really was a rule. God's command was a rule that God placed in order for Adam to have I won't use the word, to put him in a position where he can make a choice, whether to do right or to do wrong, or good or evil. So right here we see something interesting, class. We see that God used a rule to determine submission or the obedience of a person, just like in today's world. There are rules to follow. And sometimes on jobs, there are rules to follow. Well, these rules are not just made up just to aggravate you, but it displays a certain order in the earth realm. Rules always displays order and discipline and guidance and to keep peace and order. So when any rule given is broken, then that subjection to that authority is broken. And so when that subjection to authority is broken, then it reveals something we call rebellion. And I also like to use this term, this phrase, rules reveal rebellion. A rule tell you what's in your heart. If there's a rule you can't submit to, it tells you that you're on the brink of being a rebellious person, because then you're subjected or submitted to your own will rather than the will of that of another. Now, so remember that, class. Rules always reveal your rebellion. Now, I like to go off track a little bit because it's kind of put us in understanding of this present time, real time, 2022. I think the day is October the 17th, if I'm right, 2022. And in this time, you give your children rules. Most of you may have families with children, and you give them a rule, you expect that rule to be followed. If not, then that child needs to be disciplined or corrected. Because if they break your rule when they're young, well, what are they going to do when they get older? Because it forms a habit of discipline. It forms a habit of obedience. It forms a habit of submission, either way you go. If it's negative, it forms a habit of rebellion. Or a beginning of rebellion. Then they say, I don't have to follow your rules. I don't have to obey what you tell me. It's okay for me to do what I want to do. No, when my children were growing up, they did not do what they want to do. And I hope to God that you don't let your children do what they want to do, but there's a rules that are laid down for a purpose. Don't touch this. I remember my son was real young, and we would try to use small things to illustrate obedience so he won't fall into the bigger things. Whenever we get around the stove, we'll use the word hot, hot, hot. Let them know that don't go around the stove. The stove is hot. And so it was a rule we gave to discipline our children. And so when he still want to make like look like he want to touch it, we'll ease his hand to it and let him feel the warmth of it. And then he will tell you hot, hot, hot. Yeah, he understood hot. And so you knew that if that was a punishment of the rule, if you broke the rule, you may get burned. And so that was a small illustration with his kids. But God gave Adam and Eve a rule not to touch that fruit that was in the midst of the garden. And so it was very important that he played this rule, because this rule was going to set the stage of man, whether he was going to obey or whether he was going to rebel. And God never forced us to do anything. God always gave us a free will spirit. God does not want us to worship him or to serve him by a robotic action. Robotic action being by his command, like we're puppets on a string, and he can make us do what we want to do when he wants to do it. No, God gave us a will because God wants to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God wants us to obey him in spirit and in truth. And God wants to yield to him, oh my goodness, in spirit and in truth. And God do not want you to do it robotically, because God wants you to do it willingly. There's a scripture over in Samuel. It says, if you be willing, I think it's Samuel, 1 Samuel 1:19, If you're willing and obedient, see, willing and obedient go together. He didn't say if you be obedient, you receive the good of the land. No, because you can be forced obedient, forced to obey. I remember one time, and don't mind these little side trips. I live out in the country, and this man was a heartbreaker. When I say break hearts, he take a heart that wasn't disciplined, and he'll break them where it'll be suitable for a person to ride on, a gentle. Take that old wild spirit out and make him gentle where even a child can get on him and ride. Well, this horse didn't even want to even take a saddle. This horse kept bucking. Every time he tried to put the saddle on, the horse would buck it off. He put it on again, the horse would buck it off. Finally, he strapped a couple of 100-pound sandbags, and I don't know how many to this day he put on it, but he strapped it to his back, and he walked that horse around until that horse didn't mind the weight of the saddle. He said, release these sandbags off of me and give me the saddle. So what am I saying? He was forced to be obedient to that saddle. He was forced to obey. So, but God doesn't want us to function with a forced obedience. So back to 1 Samuel 1:19, if you be willing, they have to come to a place where you're willing obedient. And that's what this class is all about, to come to the place where we understand that God wants us to obey, but he don't want to force break us. Now, if you're a renegade and God knows there's great potential in you, then he'll force break you. Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus had to be almost force broken, but God knew his heart that he was going to be a great asset to him down the road. So God had to go through some extreme measures to get him to see what he wanted to do. Paul was blind for 3 days, couldn't see a thing. But God was showing him that he had to be under authority before he could be in authority. And God was going to use Paul mightily because he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. My goodness. So I tell you that God, if you want to use someone, they have to have a willing and obedient heart. And that's what we're trying to get this to the clan. Not only obedient, but a willing heart. A willing and obedient heart. Remember I said that, clan. Remember I said that because it's a good point. It's a very good point. The purpose, we talk about the purpose of the children. Now, on the one hand, God placed all the created things on the earth under the authority that Adam, that he might have dominion over them. But on the other hand, God placed Adam himself under his authority that Adam might obey authority. Let me explain that now. I know it's pretty simple to understand, but I just want to add another point to it. See, because God even had Adam to name all. He said, whatever you name them, Adam, that's what I'm going to name. That's what they're going to be named. So Adam, name all the animals that God created. And God, and say, all these things will be under your authority, Adam. And so he put everything under Adam's authority. But Adam had to recognize that I also am under authority. I just can't do things like I want to do it, but I'm submitted to Almighty God. And so my point is that you always submit to someone. You cannot, God cannot trust you with authority if you're not under authority. Nope, you always have somebody to correct you and to challenge you and to make sure you're doing things according to God's own will. And then when you do that, it's going to be according to God's own purpose. Everything got to be according to God's will, and everything got to be according to God's purpose. Or it's not going to be fruitful. It's going to be your own will and your own ways trying to do things. You don't want to be in your own will. You don't want to be in your own ways trying to satisfy God, because God would not accept it. God would not accept your sacrifice. Yeah, and that's why people think, if you read the scripture, was Cain and Abel, but the difference between the sacrifice. God could not accept Cain's sacrifice because it was self-will sacrifice. It had nothing to do with him. It was something he wanted to do. And so God don't want your self-will sacrifice. Now, I don't mean to get excited, Claire, but I understand what God is trying to get into the earth realm, and he's trying to get a team. God, in this last day, God is trying to get an army that can flow with authority and do great and mighty exploits for him. All right, Claire, let's see where I'm at now. In both the old and the new creation, this order of priority is the basis of authority. Whoever is first created is to be the authority. Whoever is first saved is to be the authority. Therefore, wherever we go, first thought must be to find out who are those to whom God wants us to be subject. You don't hear that statement much, because people haven't been taught to this degree of submission. Who's an authority that I must obey? I don't care. I don't care where you go. When you come to authority, you must look around and find out who's an authority that I may obey. Whether it could be secular, whether it could be spiritual. You see, God always wants to be subject to authority, even on your job. You can be spiritual and saying, I don't have to submit myself to my supervisor. No, but he's your authority. He's ordained by God to be your authority. God always has authority, because that's how things get accomplished, through authority. Yeah. Yep, that's the way it goes, Clan. We can find authority everywhere and learn to obey authority at any time. The fall of man is due to disobedience to God's authority. Now, if I ask the question, why or what caused the fall of man? If I were just to ask that question, Claire, I don't want your answer. I want this answer. What the cause of fall of man? The cause of fall of man is due to disobedience to God's authority. But we hear what some people help me, Lord. Here was some people get confused at. Because when you see God's authority, you just think it's spiritual things. No. And that's why you got to find authority everywhere. God back up the policeman. God back up your supervisor. Now, when they cross the line that you can't cross, if you go contrary to God's words or God's plan or God's way of doing things, then no, you don't have to obey. You see, husband, obey your wife in all things. That was the scripture saying in Ephesians. Does that mean a wife should do, if a husband wants to say, you're supposed to go out with me, let's go get drunk together tonight. Does that mean you got to obey him? No, because you're going against God's order, God's plan, God's word, God's commandment. And so you don't have to submit when they're not subject to God. As long as a man or woman is separate to God, you must submit. But the moment that they disconnect and they try to get you to do something that's contrary to what God says in the word, then God says, no, you can't submit to that because it's not under my jurisdiction. It's not under my plan of redemption. And so you don't have to obey when people are contrary to what God's trying to do in the earth realm. All right. Instead of obeying Adam, Eve made her own decision upon seeing that the fruit was good and pleasant to the eye. We call that self-will. So make a little note on the side of your paper if you're taking notes and write self-will along this statement here, because that was Eve was functioning self-will. And I had a definition of self-will. I don't know if I can find it right now. I should have wrote it down, but it's when a person going after their own interest. You see it? Self-will, following your own ideas and your own interest. And so that's what Eve did. When the temptation came, she paid more attention to what Satan said, or you listening, class, than what God says. And then she saw with her eye that the tree was good for food and it looked pleasant to the eyes, and it became a temptation then. And then she forgot God's will, God's command, and went after her own will, following after her own senses. Her own senses. Sometimes your senses will lead you out of the will of God. Remember I said that, class. She not only violated God's order, but disobeyed Adam as well. Why is that? Because she's supposed to be submitted unto Adam. As a matter of fact, she should not have touched that tree unless she could have. She should have been in communication with her husband Adam, and I'm sure Adam would remind her, look, no, God did not say we can eat that fruit. You remember what God said? God gave us the commandment. And I think Adam would have upheld what God said and remind her what God said, but she did not check with her head. And when you check, why? Because Adam was responsible for the actions of Eve and himself upon this earth because God put him in authority. Remember, my brother Nee said, he that first created is the authority. She not only violated God's order, but disobeyed Adam as well. To rebel against God's representative authority, sounds like a good test question. To represent against God's delegated, God's representative authority is the same as to rebel against God. Now, the church world class as a whole, I don't think as a whole, have never learned this lesson. They don't understand to rebel against God's representative authority. Those whom God has put in this place to represent him is just like rebelling against God. Same punishment. If you were to rebel against God directly, and you were to rebel against God through his delegated authority or representative, you just as guilty. God said, I don't see no difference. Because when you come against them, you come against me. And that's why the children were so severely punished in the book of Numbers and Exodus and Deuteronomy, when Moses was trying to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They came contrary with Moses, but it was just like they were coming against God himself. And that's a lesson to be learned. And it's a fearful thing to get in the hand of the Lord. In listening to Eve and eating the forbidden fruit, Adam sinned against God's direct will. You see it? Hence, he too was disobedient to God's authority. This also was the rebellion. Adam sinned against God's direct will. Eve sinned a twofold sin. She sinned against God's direct will, and also Adam as her representative of God's authority. So Eve had a twofold instant that she had to, or reason that she rebelled. Now, you see, class, people don't understand how serious this matter of authority is. Now, I'm going to show you these points here. I'm going to show you these points, class, because these points is very, very, very crucial to understand. Now, I want you to see this. Because in the realm of God, there's really no distance or difference to him Whether you're coming against him or you're coming against his representative, God don't see no different. All God see is that you being rebellious to him. I don't care if you're a pastor, I don't care if you're a leader, I don't care even if you're a boss at work, I don't care if it's the policeman that's directing traffic. God see you rebelling against him. Now, we read that in Romans 13, all authority belongs to God. There's no authority that exists if that God ain't already established. So, here's the next section. All work must be done in obedience. Talking about church work, talking about Christian work, and talking about even natural work. Remember I talked about the three spirits of authority in the world, in the church, in the home? Well, all work must be done under God's authority. So Eve was put not only under God's authority, but also in God's ordering. What do you mean God's ordering? God's chain of command. And that's under Adam's authority. See, now that gets to the point of husband and wife submitting to the wife, submitting to the husband. Paul had a lot to say about that in Ephesians 5. About husband and wife relationship, submitting to the wife, submitting to the husband, as unto the Lord. But that's the whole new lesson all by itself. We'll get to that when we get to that class. All right? But God's ordering is Adam and then Eve. And Adam was Eve's head, and Eve was submitted to Adam. Are you with me? And so Eve was put not only under God's authority, but also in God's ordering, and that was under Adam's authority. She had a double authority to obey. And our position today is no different from this. A double authority. What double authority? Adam and then God. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this now. This sounds like a strong statement, but it sounds like it's almost untrue. But the way God plays this authority, let me break it down, because sometimes this is like a hard pill to swallow. You ever took a big pill and then you only want to break it up to swallow it because it was too hard, too big to swallow? I'm finna give one of those pills, class, that's too hard to swallow. I'm gonna give you the one scenario first, then I'm gonna give you another scenario. Apostle in his relationship to God's people, or a pastor in relationship to God's people, to the church, and a Moses in relationship to God's people, which I call it, Moses was a type of the church class. I'm using those three scenarios, apostle, the church, pastor, the church, spiritual leader, the church, Moses, the church. I'm trying to get us something we can see. Now, God represented himself to the people through Moses. And the people could not go directly to God. They had to go through Moses to get to God. That sounds kind of strange, huh? Well, Moses was God's delegated authority, and the people could not go to God themselves because they had to go through the channel of Moses. Well, Jesus kind of brought a new dispensation. Jesus paved the way where we all can go to God directly. There's no middleman, no middle petition, but that's still his authority. And there's still our ranks in the Spirit. Ranks in the Spirit. Ephesians call it the fivefold ministry gift. First apostle, secondarily prophet, thirdly teacher. No, that's over in 1 Corinthians. But Ephesians talk about he gave gifts unto men. He gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. But my point, what I'm getting to class, is that some things, talking about the apostolic, you just can't get to God by yourself. Some things you got to go through the apostolic government to get to God. Why? Because God got his ordering set up. Sometimes people don't want to go to God themselves. Sometimes people think they go to God themselves. Yeah, you can go to God yourself, but God has set this chain of command up, and people don't understand it because they don't think they have to submit that much to authority. They don't want to obey them, the scriptures say, that have the rule over you and submit yourself. So that Paul was talking in the book of Hebrews. So there has to be some things that God say differently or show himself differently to apostolic leaders and church government that he's not going to show to the layperson or the Christian or the born-again believer. Some places just can't get by themselves. Because I believe God has certain revelation that he only showed to some apostolic leaders, church leaders. Because that government is in places of authority that God has put in position to reveal to the people. Or they don't need to be in a submission if everybody go to God themselves. But God laid these foundational stones down that men can be governed by his spirit through men that he has set apart to do his work of ministry. Show the church things they can't see by themselves. Take the church to places they can't go by themselves. Because God always have a visionary, and a visionary sees what God sees, and the people have to connect to the visionary to get what God has. And God always has a format that he uses to get there. Class, I'm trying to show you something. But my point is this. I went all the way over that. Sometimes a wife can't get things by herself without a husband. That's connected to God. Places, they can't go in the spirit unless they go to the channel that God has set. Paul went as far to say in the Corinthian that, and he has some, people got to understand Corinthian, because Paul says some things, women are not to teach, and I don't quite understand it all, but I believe God, Paul was setting some things in order because of the church, in particular in the Corinthian church. He had to make some corrections in the Corinthian church, and where the women want to take over. You got to know the whole scenario, the church history. In certain places in the early church, there were gods of women. Not say gods of women, but women had strong, how would I say this? If you look, study church history, that was the goddess Diana, if you study the scripture. Well, a lot of women would worship this god, and they held this thing in high esteem, so they had a lot of authority. And through the pagan worship, I'm trying to give you a church history, through pagan worship, when they begin to get born again, they try to bring some of this into the New Testament church. Because they still had this controlling spirit from this goddess Diana that they just can do what they want and not submit themselves to God's divine order. I'm trying to make some sense of this. So what happened is Apostle Paul had to make some Corinthian correction. I never seen that before. He had to make some Corinthian church correction about women not being subject to teach or do anything. If you want to learn, ask your husband at home. He was trying to bring them under what we're talking about here, God's divine order from the New Testament. He was trying to get women to submit themselves to their husband and not just take off and do things all by themselves. They had to be put under constraint for a while until the church, New Testament church governor got in place. I hope I'm understanding that properly. So there's some things said in the Corinthian that you need to understand, because God used women to teach and preach and do everything. So that can't be what Paul was talking about. But he was correcting some things that were going on within the system, but the different gods and the different paganism that they were serving, and so they had to be converted to think along God's word and not to take what they had in the system of the paganism government and trying to filter it into the church. Hope I'm making sense. That's the best I can do. Have mercy upon me. But I want you to understand what I'm saying. I understand. I'm just trying to get you to understand it. Because you're going to see certain things as you read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 7 and all this, how women seem like the Paul was putting it. Some say Paul was a woman hater, women hater. But no, not necessarily so. You got to know what he was correcting to be an apostle. You got to know what he was challenging the church and making these corrections to get the church in God's order here. That's why you had to have the foundation of the apostle to be able to bring these things out, or the church would have been in chaos. And there would have been no governing authority in the church. And so Paul had to set these divine demarcations in place so there'd be church order. And that's why he talked about let everything be done, even the gifts of the Spirit be done decent in order. And so he would bring apostolic order in the church, just like Apostle Thompson is doing today, in these latter days, bringing apostolic order in the church so the church can go places they can't go by themselves. Are you with me, class? Hope I brought some understanding here. The church needs to go places that God wants them to go, but they have to have divine order, and that's what these lessons on authority is for, to bring us, help bring us into that order, into place where God can show us things, and our obedience to bring us to the promised land. All right? I'm almost done, class. Almost done. Almost done. So, I just need you to understand that. I need you to understand that. So Eve has a double authority to obey, and our position today is no different from this. Now, I went all the way around that to get to what Eve was dealing with and her double position of authority, a double role that she had to play. But I want to get into the next part concerning the tree and concerning the eating of the fruit, but I don't have time to get into that now. Because we'll save that for next week, but we're going to find out just what happened when they ate the tree, they ate the fruit of the tree, and the eyes were open, and they were able to discern good and evil. Well, I'm going to give you just a little taste of it. Good and evil never was God's intention for man to know. You see it? Because God never wanted us to judge between good and evil. Why? Because all he wanted to do was obey. Because there's no evil in God. You see it? And if Adam and Eve would not have sinned, there would not have been any choice. Because everything would have been good, just like God. God is good. And we would have been functioning right now in the same vein with God. There would have been no evil. Satan would have been defeated even at the beginning of the Bible. He would have been put under his feet because God would have ordained this thing, and there would never have to be a Jesus had to come and redo this thing all over again. This could have been heaven upon earth, and man would never have to die again. We would live forever like God intended us to live. And like Jesus is going to intend for us to live when he come back. Class, I wish we can go further, but my time is ending for today's class. And you've been a good class. You listen real good. So the class is ended, and go in peace.